Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Some agree with his words. Let's put it this way. They appreciate him. They appreciate his words, man. I love this guy. I love what he's doing. I'm all for it. I'm on his bandwagon. But they wouldn't necessarily follow him. They agree with him. They love him. Love what he's about. But following him is different than just being a fan of Jesus. So Jesus now, knowing there's a difference in those who would be fans and those who would be followers, addresses discipleship.
How do we step into the abundant life Jesus gives? Can we find it in our bank account, our country, or our job? To move beyond these superficial freedoms and into true spiritual freedom, we must go from simply believing Jesus to believing in Him. We have to progress from being a fan of Jesus to being a true follower. Today, Pastor Troy teaches us the important distinction between these two mindsets. One leads to an abundant life and enduring faith, while the other leads to a life that will fade away. Now, here's Pastor Troy in John chapter 8 as he begins his message, How to Live Life Abundantly.
One of the things that we want to do over time is learn to live life abundantly, because that's what Jesus said he's given us, he's teaching us to do. Come that we may have life and life abundantly. Well, we're in John chapter 8, verses 31 through 37, and that's the title of our study, How to Live Life Abundantly. You know, nations go to war for freedom, to defend freedom or to obtain freedom. There are wars. Our nation was built on the idea of freedom. In July 4th, 1776, over 50 men signed the Declaration of Independence. And among other things, it said, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, obvious, that all men are created equal, endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Freedom. We've been given freedom. A sad reality is that we often seek and rejoice personal freedom or political freedom, while at the same time we are spiritually enslaved. We don't even realize it. Thus, we are free, but we are unable to live life. We're free, but we don't know how to live with that freedom or to live life. Some think living life abundantly is having an abundance of money. If I have an abundance of money, I can spend on anything I want. That's freedom. But not necessarily. Some of the most miserable people have lots of money. And the reason they're so miserable is they found that it doesn't satisfy. You can't really buy true, genuine happiness. You can buy a numbing effect, happy for a time, but then I need to buy something else. I need to buy something else. And you always need that next thing. So having enough money is not abundant life, or the right job. You know, they say if you have the right job, you never work a day in your life because you love what you do. And while that's true, not every day is happy. Not every day is good. And it's work. It's called work for a reason. You're not your own. You're working for a reason. And so having the right job, or maybe the right spouse. If I just had the right spouse, not the one I have, a different one, then I would be happy. At first, it's any spouse, right? Any spouse. I just need someone, Lord. I'll be happy. And then you realize, no, not just someone will do. Doesn't work. Because we're needy people. Because we're needy people, we're a problem in someone else's life. And they were needy too, or they wouldn't have married us. And so it's not necessarily always better. It's a challenge. It's a greater challenge now, because I used to just take care of myself. Now I got to take care of myself and sometimes a whiny baby over here. I'm saying that for mostly the women who would talk to their husbands. We're the whiners. Women, you're the naggers. But we're the whiners. How many stories I've heard of women saying, who is this man? He gets sick and it's like, oh, I can't live. You know, like, you're the man of the house. I'm so sick. Can you get me something? I can't lift my arms. men are physically stronger, but I'll tell you, there's a strength in women that God has given to go through and endure almost anything. They can take care of the kids when the husband can't even take care of himself. So God bless you guys. We all have a role. But how to live life abundantly? Only God knows that. And we need to learn it from him. Jesus said in John 10, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So how do we live this life that Jesus gives? That's what we're going to consider today. And we'll look at it from two perspectives. One, how to live the life Jesus gives. And two, how to miss the life Jesus gives. So let's look at verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, notice his audience, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So let's consider how to live the life Jesus gives. Because I think we all would like to live that life, right? Notice back in verse 30, it says, as he spoke these words, many believed in him. So Jesus has been speaking, sharing, and some have believed his words. And notice that that's who he's addressing, those who believed. He addresses those who believe in him, and he makes a distinction between those who believe him and those who believe in him. And there is a difference. I believe what he's saying. I believe, oh man, I accept it. I love it. I'm all for it. And then those who would believe in him. Some agree with his words. Let's put it this way. They appreciate him. They appreciate his words, man. I love this guy. I love what he's doing. I'm all for it. I'm on his bandwagon. But they wouldn't necessarily follow him. They agree with him. They love him. Love what he's about. But following him is different than just being a fan of Jesus. So Jesus now, knowing there's a difference in those who would be fans and those who would be followers, addresses discipleship. Following. So the first step, really, to living life abundantly is to believe in Christ. Not to just say, yeah, I believe it. But to believe in him. To believe in Christ. James brought to light the fact that not all faith is saving faith. Not all faith is a faith that works transformation into the heart of a man. I've known so many who are for the Bible, for church, call themselves Christians, but you see no transformation. There's absolutely no power at all in their life to overcome anything or do anything. There's nothing in them, no spark of anything. And you have to wonder, what do they have? I'm not going to say whether or not they have anything, but you have to wonder. Because the Bible makes it very clear that if any man be in Christ, that person's a new creation. Old things have passed away. This is a new individual. Not the same. Things have changed. So we must believe in Christ. And James says this, James chapter 2, verses 18 through 20. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Now, this is not saying that you have to do works to be saved. What it's saying is, if you truly believe, there will be works. There will be something that's taking place to show the evidence that you believe. You can't just say, I believe, because the demons believe. The demons knew who they were dealing with in Jesus. We know who you are, the Son of God. We know who you are. So they believed. They believed who he was. They believed that he was. But they didn't believe in him. Remember in John chapter 2, it said that many believed Jesus. They believed in him, but they believed in his signs. They believed in him for the signs that he had done. But it says that Jesus would not commit himself to them. They believed in him for the signs. So there was something motivating their belief. Hey, he'll do this for me. Yeah, I'll follow that guy. So there was a sort of a following, but it wasn't really following him because they believed in him as the Son of God, Lord of all, your Lord. But they believed in him as the miracle worker. I'll take some of that action. But it says that Jesus, that wasn't the kind of belief. Jesus did not commit himself to them. They didn't believe in him. They believed what he could do for them. Now, when you believe in him, that's also part of the package, but it can't be the package. You believe in him, you know what he can do for you, but you don't go, he can fix things for me. I'm gonna follow him. You got to understand, he's the Lord. He's God Almighty. His way is right. When we follow him, we're following him to heaven. It's a forever thing. It's not as long as it fixes me. As long as it does what I want, I got stipulations, strings attached. It's all in. You believe in him. If you believe in him, you're all in anyway, right? I mean, if you believe in him, where else are you going to go? That's what the disciples said. You guys want to leave also? These were hard words. Everyone else is walking away. The disciples said, hey, those are hard words. He said, you want to go also? They said, to where? Where will we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. They were in. Good and bad. Hard things and fun things. They were in. They weren't fair-weathered followers. They believed in Christ.
There's much more to learn from today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock. So be sure to stay tuned for the next part of Pastor Troy's message. Building on the Solid Rock is the radio ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to have you join us in person for our weekly services on Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. for a time of worship and learning from the Word of God. You can also come by on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our in-depth Bible study. Learn more about the church and find directions at our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We hope we see you there. Now, here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message. Building on the solid
ground. There was a parable of the soils. It said that some seed fell by the rocky soil, fell into the rocky soil. And it sprouted up very quickly. The person who gets excited, oh, wow, oh, that's true, I love it, oh, man, what a wonderful message. And they go and they're excited, and it says they hang in for a time, but the sun beats down, and that plant withers away because it had no root. It really had no root. It wasn't established. It just enjoyed the moment and fed off of that for a period of time. See, the sun beating down is a picture of trials and difficulties. when those things beat down, that really tests our faith. Isn't that what the scriptures teach us? Is, you know, what distinguishes is what you do when the trials come. When the cupboard is bare and God isn't the cosmic Santa Claus you thought he was going to be. And you have to trust him even in times of want. Paul the Apostle said, I've learned to be content in all these circumstances. When it's difficult, it doesn't go the way you think or thought. And those who believe in him stay with him. But those who just believe in something that they can get from him, they go away. So if we're going to live the abundant life, guys, we got to believe in him. Who he is, all in. A searching question I think we can all ask ourselves is, do I really believe in him? Or do I just really appreciate him? I really appreciate him, man. Someone who would die for sin, my sin, I really appreciate him. I appreciate that so much. I'm a fan, a big fan. Do you just appreciate his death on the cross? Or do you put your life in his hands because of it? Scripture says you are not your own. Do you not realize you're not your own? You're bought at a price. When you believe in him, you believe that. You get it. We don't do it perfectly. We are still free. We are still sinners. We have a sinful nature. But we get back up again and we continue to pursue. We continue to follow while he continues to do all of the great work in our life. So, good question. Do I really believe in him? Am I his? Am I sold on him? Am I all in? One is a fan, the other is a follower. So the first step to living life abundantly is believing in Christ. It's foundational. A second we see here is continuing in his word. Continuing in his word. Notice verse 31. Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. John loves that word abide. You know, in the whole New Testament, the word is used 34 times. 31 of them belong to John. John loves that word. You know, we all have favorite words, you know, that we'll use. Some of them are words that don't really matter, like awesome, awesome, awesome. You know, everything is awesome. But some words are rich. Like abiding in Christ. Hey, do you love the Lord? My desire is to abide in Christ. It's deep. The word abide simply means to continue in or to be anchored to, or if you could imagine yourself just immersing yourself in something, it just covers and takes you over. That's to abide in, to be hidden by. To find your and draw your nutrients from. You're anchored like a tree that would root itself. And when a tree roots itself, guess what happens? It's established. When it's established, it starts to take its nutrients from the ground that it is so firmly rooted in. That's where it gets all of its nutrients going forward. You see, by the first step, believing, you make the initial contact. But there are lots of people who they believed in him for his miracles. They believe, we see it throughout the scriptures. But then Jesus addresses and draws the seriousness of the line. What kind of belief is it? James even had, what kind of faith is it that you have? The demons believe. But do you follow? Are you a genuine believer? Do you believe in him? The first step is believing, but you have to let the roots grow down. You have to root yourself in him, abide in him. When you plant a tree, it takes some time for the roots to actually lay hold in the ground. Did you know that? At first, that tree is very, very fragile. It could be plucked up and moved around. It's not really planted yet. You've planted it, but the tree itself has not rooted itself At first, it's growing, but it's growing based upon the nutrients it already has in and of itself in its own packaging and container. So it hasn't yet really entrenched itself, rooted itself so that its nutrients, it's just part of the earth now. I remember we planted a tree when we first got our house. I didn't know all of this stuff. I've learned a lot. And so we bought a tree and, you know, it was a little skinny thing you could call a tree. It was going to be a tree one day. And so I plant this thing in the ground and you got to dig this. I'd never heard of this before, but you're supposed to dig a square hole. So anyway, dug my square hole and I put it in there and I covered it all. Well, that night we had a storm. See, the tree believed, but the tree was not entrenched. And so that night we had a storm and I looked out the window. I was worried about the tree, you know. Worried about my, I just planted the tree. It's a lot of work. And so then I look out there around, 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm all concerned about the tree. And every now and then the lightning flashes and I could see the tree was like flat. It's like, oh man, my tree broke. And so I go outside the next day and what I discovered was the whole ball of the tree that I had planted, it didn't break, it just rolled. So, it wasn't firm, it wasn't rooted, it just was on its side. So really all I had to do was very moist and muddy, was slide it back up, pack it back down, and then I learned you got to put like stakes down. You got to tie the trees so that it stays up in those types of conditions. So those stakes are what we do at first to anchor ourselves to Christ. But then what happens is it's not we're anchored, we're just holding on because I really believe in him. But our roots go down and it's who we are. It's just who we are. You can never walk away from who you really are. And so continuing in his word is the process of the roots going down and establishing themselves. It's abiding in him is the only way the root system goes down. To abide in his word means you start growing your roots, but you start digging your roots into his word. Not into the earth, but into his word. His word becomes the foundation of our life and from which we draw all our nutrients. His word. We find answers there. We get direction there. That's what it means to abide in his word. We seek our counsel there. We align everything that comes in and we filter it through his word. We abide in his word. There, instead of our own experiences, our own thoughts, our own feelings, our own fears, those are the residual resources that we have. Those things that came with us in the bucket. We need to outgrow those. So, a disciple is learning to trust and obey the word of God over anything else, including their own feelings. And our feelings can be pretty deceptive, can't they? Our feelings feel things that aren't even there. In our own mind, we create them. We hear a word, we catch a glance, and we go, what's happening? And I've got fears and thoughts, and oh no, what did I do? What did I say? And we're running down this trail, and they didn't even notice us. They weren't looking at us. They were looking beyond us at, oh, they changed the color of the candles. That's different. We saw that look and we thought, oh, what are they thinking of me? They didn't even know you were there that day. And yet we have run with these emotions and these feelings are not even true or justified.
Thanks for joining us today on Building on the Solid Rock. We hope you've learned some new things today as Pastor Troy taught through the Gospel of John. If you'd like to hear today's message again, please visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. We also have an archive of previous messages available to you free of charge, ready to be listened to online or even downloaded and shared with friends and family. We're so blessed to be a part of your life in this way, and we'd love to hear how you've been impacted by Building on the Solid Rock. Feel free to send us an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We love being able to connect with our listeners in this way, and your feedback helps us continue to build this ministry. Next time, Pastor Troy will share more from the Gospel of John and express additional examples of how Jesus proved he was unlike any other man that has ever lived. Join us then, right here, on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us.
Come have